If we can get the, you can go do it now, just do it, yeah, because we're gonna.
Questions, motion, comments? I just wanted to say, this is the first I've heard about this. I think that's great, because I think it's also a great way, because we have students who are never going to do, right, the JEL one, because, you know, because of what they're planning, because of what else they want to take, of course. But they may still have some interest in teaching and maybe majoring in education, right, in college. And so I see this as a great way, because I love what we're doing with that program in JEL, but recognizing that not all students are going to have the room or the inclination to do that. I love that there is another way here to get students who may never want to do the full path in JEL, three, but still might be maybe toying with the idea of like the majoring in college. And I hope that this converts some of them to get there. So I think that's great, great creativity.
Was mentioned throughout the presentation. I would love to ask Mr. Wren to come and share about that, the new creation of a department, and just give a quick highlight about that.
Thank you. Hello again. This new department is our effort to take advantage of some things that are going on in the state. The state has looked to redesign the CTE program, and in a short elevator pitch, they've given us an opportunity to have a principal course, a concentrator A and a concentrator B as a pathway for students. Once they complete that pathway, we have some really cool things that can happen outside of that. And so this gives us the flexibility to create that sequence based on what we have. The state offers some pathways, but we get to create them as well. And so this polytechnic department will help us do that and put a focus there. We are adding a new leader in our building to head this department up. We've moved some things around, but this instructional leadership position will help us coordinate our efforts as we build this department out. We are taking kind of piecemealing some courses together in classes, and so we'll need a leader and a strong leader for this department, and we're working on that. This department helps us put real-world spin on some courses that typically have not had that career lens, and so that's incredibly exciting. And these, with the new high school diploma redesign, we're looking to see how we can embed these courses in the sequence for students, and it accomplishes two things at the same time. And really, it's a cool way to look at new courses and for students. It puts a fresh spin on it and gives them something different at the high school level. Outside of the typical course selections that they've seen, they can take advantage of brand new courses that are just cool.
Any further questions? I'll entertain a motion. And moved in second, I will call the vote. Ms. Fry?
Aye.
Mrs. Horth Krueger?
Aye.
Mrs. George Davis?
Aye.
Mr. Fensel?
Aye.
I'm an aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you both. Appreciate it. Next action item, approval submission for the Health First Indiana Community Grant for Marion County, Dr. Scavenzi.
Dr. Woodson, President Turner, and members of the board, I stand before you today asking for your permission to seek and apply for the Health First Indiana Community Grant for Marion County. Included in your packet are all the details regarding the grant, but the Marion County Public Health Department is requesting applications for competitive funding to issue community grants that must meet the criteria for improving health outcomes and preventing and reducing prevalence of health issues related to public health. This grant must focus on key priority areas identified by the Marion County Health Department. One priority area, which the MSD of Washington Township has acknowledged, is that of vaccine clinics. We would like to seek approval to submit this competitive grant in the amount of $46,000 so that we can work to better ensure the needs of our residents, regardless of their insurance status and their status within our country. If you have any questions, we are here to answer those, including our lead nurse.
This is Horst Kruger.
And reading through, and if I'm not seeing it, I apologize in advance, but it says on site at 3 Washington Township schools. Have those been determined, or does that happen at a later date?
That would happen at a later date. We're just in the initial to seek your approval. The goal was we took those 3 based upon some immunization clinics, which we ran through Marion County Health Department. And so having 3 sites was very mobile, very accessible, and so really being very strategic about where they placed them. Yes, of course, great question.
Other questions, board? Yes, sure, go ahead.
First of all, this is amazing, and I love this. And I don't know why we are all doing this already. The funding isn't there for everybody, but this is fantastic. And then also, I'm going to take this opportunity to share kudos, because I happened to be in a meeting where this came up, that this year, when on exclusion day, when, you know, certain kids, if they don't have it, after all the attempts and everything, I don't know about other schools, but I do know that at North Central, the number of kids who had to be excluded on exclusion day was many factors, many times below what it was last year. So
I can add.
Should have been on that list of highlights for North Central, but when we're talking about vaccines, I'm going to shout out Mr. Rose.
Yeah, absolutely, and I can share with you that as of November 12th, 97% of our district is compliant with their immunizations. Through the leadership of Ms. Dykes, we did have an immunization clinic where we offered 539 vaccines to over 176 Washington Township students. Exclusion day, which was October 16th, with thank you for Mr. Rent for housing. The Marion County Health Department assured us they would not turn anyone away. That day alone, on exclusion day, we had 78 students show up to the building and were actually vaccinated and were able to continue to attend school. So right now we are 97%, so there are 299 students who as of 11-12 are not compliant.
By the way, when you look at demographic, right? In our population, pre-reduced lunch population of those kids without vaccines, what a huge change. And now I will move that we approve the submission of the Health First Indiana Community Grant as presented by Dr. Spitt.
I'll second.
We'll move to second it. I will call the vote. Ms. Fry.
Aye.
Ms. Horst Kruger.
Aye.
Ms. George Davis.
Sorry, aye.
Mr. Fitzel?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Next action item, approval of 2024 third quarter, July, August, September financial reports. Mrs. Smith.
Good evening, President Turner, Dr. Whitson, members of the board. I bring to you this evening our customary board reports. And for this one, it is for the third quarter. So that includes July, August, and September. And on the screen this evening, we have our major funds for the quarter. In your board packet, you'll have the individual major funds that are approved by the Department of Local Government Finance. But just wanted to kind of run through the major budgeted funds here for the third quarter. What we have on the left-hand side, we have the revenue and the expenditures. You'll see that revenue at the top, expenditures at the bottom. The next column there, you'll see our certified budget order, our anticipated revenues, and our approved appropriation for our expenditures. Then in the next column, you'll see the quarter amounts for this third quarter. Just the quarter amounts are in that column for the revenue and the expenditures. And then we also have the year-to-date column there, that second yellow column for this year. So these are calendar year funds, January through December. So you will see there all of those numbers and the year-to-date percentages all the way to the right of what was anticipated and what has been received from revenue. And then on the bottom portion, what was budgeted for each one of those object line items and where we are year to date on the expenditures. And then you'll also see on the right-hand side, the pie chart that shows the breakdown of those budgets by type. We have salaries, benefits, professional services, purchase services, rentals, other purchase services, travel, and utilities and capital outlay. So you'll see that nice bar chart there. And then also you'll see down below on the charts the revenues and expenditures for the year to date versus the budget for each one of those. And then down at the bottom, you'll see some customary percentages of the year expended. And then right below that, you'll see we're 75% through the year. You know, third quarter, that makes sense. The percent of revenue, the first thing that I look at it, you know, or the average person would be looking at that going, well, why are our revenues showing less than we are for the year? Just a reminder to the board and to the public, our revenue streams are different depending on the fund. So our funds for our education fund come on a monthly basis through the state for through our basic grant, through our enrollment, our ADM, our average daily membership. However, the other major funds are debt service, operations, and debt service, capital debt service, all are through property taxes. And those property taxes come, the majority of those taxes come twice a year in June and December. So that's why you would see that number lower at this time of year for the third quarter, and that will pop right back up for the fourth quarter. And then another thing that I always look at and like to point out is that percent of the budget expended. So if you recall during the budget process, we it is customary to average high on the estimate for expenditures. So therefore, that is why we allow that number to be a little bit higher in case there are unforeseen needs that might happen that following year. However, we strive to always balance our revenue and our expenditures, and that's why you see that number budgeted, expended less than the year at 67% instead of 75%. So that is by design. Our total fund balance currently for those three major funds is a little over $50 million. So we are right on track with all of our major funds for this third quarter of 2024. And I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have at this time.
Board have questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the 2024 third quarter financial report as presented by Mrs.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. I'll call the vote. Ms. Fry?
Aye.
Ms. Swarth Kruger?
Aye.
Mrs. George Davis?
Aye.
Mr. Fensel?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Ms. Smith. Action item number 7, approval and adoption of second reading of policies D375, F350, G175, G450, G500, H100, H225. Mrs. Smith.
Thank you, President Turner, Dr. Woodson, members of the board. As you have seen me at every board meeting with all these policy revisions that we've done throughout this year, we continue to do so for these next 2 months, and then we'll be back to our customary a couple times a year. So this evening I have for you the second reading of the policies just mentioned, and I'll just brief through those. In your board packet, you'll find a form C-175 that is on religious instruction and attendance. This goes with a policy C-175 that was adopted in February of 2024, but did not have the form at that time, and that's why that is in your packet. Next, we have policy D-375, and that's on employee discipline, and this replaces policy 3139. And the law does not require this policy, but the policy is based on law, and is customary for us to have this policy. Next, we have policy F-350, reserve and liquidity policy. This replaces policy 6210.01. And this policy established the minimum operating balance in the education and operation funds as favored by Standard & Poor's, who does our bond ratings for our credit rating for our bonds and our leases. And this is suggested from them to follow our past practice, which in the last 4 to 6 years, we have maintained a minimum of 15% in our reserve funds, and our previous policy had a minimum of 5%. So we wanted to update that. Next, we have policy G175, chemical management and preparedness for toxic hazard. This replaces policy 8431, and this policy is required. Next, we have policy G450, advertisements, publications, and naming rights. This replaces policy 9700.01, and this is a policy that is recommended due to all public relations that we have throughout the district. Next, we have policy G500, and this is intellectual property and ownership revenue. This policy is optional but highly recommended, and we have chose to include this policy for approval. Next, we have policy H100, and that is school visitor and parent family engagement. This replaces policies 2261.01, 2281, 9150, and 9250. And this is required and contains Title I school visitor info and parent and family engagement information. Next, we last but not least for this one, we have policy H225, which is public comment and concerns. This replaces policy 9130, and the law does not require this, but the policy is based on law and customary for Washington Township. And just wanted to note this change on this one. This would be changing our 21 minutes to 30 minutes allowance for public comment. I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have on this.
Board have questions?
I would like to make my usual comments, since we do have those of you who don't always watch these live streams, because I know they're fine meeting. Watching these, you may not have heard me make this, but I just want to always acknowledge that you hear it's a lot of policies and a lot of words, and it feels like, oh my gosh, do they really know what's in all these? Yes. I just want to answer that question preemptively. Yes, I actually serve on the committee with Mrs. Smith. We meet every month. We go through these. I ask questions. I make suggestions. She goes back to the lawyers. It is a process, so I just always like to, every couple meetings, assure the public that we have read these and know what they're about. And I know I personally have put a lot of time into going through them line by line with Mrs. Smith, so just for the record.
Any other comments?
Then I would move that we approve and adopt with second reading policies D375, F350, G175, G450, G500, H100, and H225 as presented by Mrs.
Smith. I'll second. I will call for the vote. Ms. Fry.
Yes. Aye.
Ms. Worth Cooter.
Aye.
Ms. George Davis.
Sorry, trouble coming off of mute. Aye.
Mr. Fensel.
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Mrs. Smith. Next action item, approval of the first read of policies F300, F325, G225, G400, G475, and H200, Mrs. Smith.
President Turner, Dr. Woodson, members of the board. We bring to you the first reading of the policies just mentioned. I will do a brief overview for you. Policy F300 is time and effort, and this is not a requirement for policy, but it's helpful for federal grant tracking and our audit regulations. Next, we have policy F325, debt management. And this also is not a required policy, but is helpful in bond ratings and suggested by Standard & Poor's, who does our bond ratings. And then we have policy G225, vehicle idling. This replaces policy 8615, and this is required and retained as is according to our previous policy. Next, we have policy G400, Title I comparability, and this is required due to ESSA requirements from the state, and that stands for Every Student Succeeds Act, and it helps with all of our federal grants. Next, we have policy G475, prohibition of unmanned aircraft. And this is one of those, if applicable, this is an optional if we wanted to address drone usage around our facilities. And this does have an exception that's granted by the superintendent and or designee, such as when we use drone for our own marketing, construction projects, and things like that. Next, we have policy H200, relations with special interest groups. This replaces policy 9700, and this also was one of those, the law does not require the policy, but based on law, and is just continuing with replacing this with our previous policy that we already have on hand. And I would be happy to answer any questions the board may have on these policy changes.
Board, questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the first reading of policies F300, F325, G225, G400, G475, and H200 as presented by Mrs.
Second.
Moved and seconded. I'll call the vote. Ms. Fry?
Aye.
Mrs. Horst-Kruger?
Aye.
Mrs. George Davis?
Aye.
Mr. Finsel?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Mrs.
Thank
Smith.
You very much.
Next on the agenda, I don't know who's up here more, Mrs. Smith or Mr. Booth. They're here every week.
Approval of contract for abatement services, Mr. Boots.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, Dr. Woodson and members of the board. I am here representing the Capital Projects team and requesting approval of a contract for Star Environmental Inc. for hazardous waste material abatement at the JEL building, JEL Phase 5 and Washington Township Services Center Phase 6 projects combined into a single bid. The financial impact of this contract is $129,000, and of course will be paid through capital referendum funding. Be happy to answer any questions.
Board, have questions?
I just have one, Mr. Boots. Is this a provider that we've used in the past? I know we have other abatements. We have other, when we did all the remodels everywhere. Is this a different one or is it one of the same?
This is one that we have used in the past. I think Star has done three, maybe four other projects for us.
Okay.
Among other contractors have